Today is the one-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombings. When the attack happened, people flocked to social media sites for information, including Twitter. Well, that led to some problems, including the misidentification of one of the suspected bombers and other reports that turned out to be false. Some local researchers at the University of Washington and Northwest University of Kirkland have been studying the thousands and thousands of tweets that went out after the bombings. It has helped them come up with ideas for how to red flag inaccurate information on Twitter. Assistant UW Professor Kate Starbird told KUOW's Jamala Henderson what the researchers learned.
This understanding that we've developed, and people will cite a lot, reporters will talk about it after Hurricane Sandy and other things, that the crowd is self-correcting and that bad information will get into the system, but the crowd will correct it. And I've actually done a lot of research that builds off of those theories. And I think, actually, I don't think we totally disprove that. I think that part of that is true. And in fact, that's something that I'm very interested in and want to take advantage of. So what we actually found wasn't that the crowd didn't correct, but the crowd corrects bad information that says, oh, wait a minute, that rumor's not true. Or I don't know if that rumor's true. Can you look into it for me? So this happens, but it happens at such a low volume. So the signal of the misinformation or the misinformation itself spreads much further than the correction. And this can be problematic. And it actually, misinformation in the Boston Marathon bombing, sometimes people would correct it and then the misinformation would come back a few hours later or back a day later and it wouldn't get corrected later because attention had gone other places. So what we actually found is just this vast difference in the volume of misinformation. So in that event, far more people saw the misinformation than saw the corrections.
So you and your team looked at different rumors that surfaced on Twitter just after the Boston Marathon. One of those was a Brown student that was wrongly identified as a suspect in the bombing. And I'm wondering what you learned about misinformation on Twitter during a crisis from that analysis.
What happened in this instance is the FBI released the photographs of who they thought were the actual suspects, photographs of it turned out to be the actual suspects. And they said, can anybody help us identify those people? And what happened at that time was that one of the suspects happened to look like a young person who was a Brown University student. His name was Sunil Tripathi, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. And he had sadly already taken his life, but he was missing. And there was a big public search for him and his family and TV programs and other things. So there's a lot of attention around him being missing. And so people put those two things together, even though the photographs, when it turns out, don't look anything like each other. But there were some similarities having to do with skin tone and other things. And people said, you know, that picture of suspect number two looks like Sunil. And so this rumor takes off. And it's the middle of the night. The data is between midnight and 4 in the morning. This rumor totally takes off. And he's being accused. And people are saying very negative things about him and the family and everything else. And there's a few people saying, hey, no, that's not true. That doesn't look anything like him and all of this. And so there's actually, in that case, a battle sort of between the correction and the misinformation. At one point, in the middle of the night, a couple hours into this rumor kind of churning, somebody claimed to have heard the Boston police scanner say that Sunil was the suspect. And they tweet that out, and that spread like wildfire. And after that, media thought, okay, the Boston scanner said that, so I'll go and I'll post that too. So people have gone back to the Boston scanner, never said that. The Boston Police Department and other people did a very good job of communicating during that event through their Twitter accounts, through blogs and everything else. And they stayed on top of things and they did not spread misinformation. So they actually were a good example from what I've seen of their communication and then also from what people have written about it since, is that they all did a very good job of this. And mm-hmm. So if anything, there are some examples of emergency responders doing it well. And if someone's interested in starting to go that direction, they should look at these other groups that are doing it well in different places.
What are you hoping to take from this research to kind of help the social media space learn how to understand what may be misinformation versus what's true?
Yeah, so I guess we have two goals with this research. And one is what we've been talking about a lot is influencing people's behavior by giving them information and suggesting that they not spread misinformation. But we also have a goal of being able to automatically detect misinformation. And that is a hard problem computationally. So it's actually turns out to be really hard to train computers to make sense of text. So human language, but textual language, especially tweets having to do with the fact there's just not a lot of words there. But it might be easier to train a computer to detect the corrections because when people correct the misinformation. They do that in a pretty consistent way. So the kinds of things they do, oh, that's not true, or I don't think so, or wait a minute. And so they use maybe punctuation differently. They have a lot of negating words in there. So we're actually trying to train computers to detect corrections. And then if we think we can detect a correction, maybe we can amplify that correction somehow. Or maybe we can build Twitter clients when you're seeing a tweet, it actually gives you some signal if that information is being challenged somewhere, if the computer thinks that it might be misinformation. So we're thinking about different ways to build tools to take advantage of the research we're doing. And so I'd love to build this out, get the answers out there, and work with someone else who has the time to make this into a commercial project. Because as a researcher, I'm going to move on to the next problem that's the next thing, and I don't have time to make sure everything's perfect, right? I might have time, but I'd have to get a different job. So at some point, I would hopefully be working with a company who would move that through, or they would just be seeing our ideas in papers and then taking them themselves and building them.
Kate Starbird is an assistant professor in the University of Washington's Department of Human-Centered Design and Engineering. She told KUOW's Jamala Henderson how misinformation went viral on Twitter during the Boston Marathon bombing 1 year ago today.